Friedman aboard from Hockey Night in Canada and 32 Thoughts as well. Three command performances last night, whether it was Vemelka, Marchand, Pavelski. Does one of the three stand out more for you, Elliot Friedman, than the others?
Oh, I would say probably the Arizona goalie. It's close. Like, I mean, they're all legit. Marchand was great last night. It was almost like Marchand knew he was wearing the mic and he says, I have to put on a show.
Yeah. I want him, by the way, I want him mic'd up every game. I want Brad Marchand mic'd up every single game. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I got to tell you, eventually we get to a point where something would happen. We'd all be clutching pearls, that's for sure. You know, obviously Pavelski was great, but that performance in Arizona last night, what were the shots? 46-18?
It was.
Oh yeah, 46-18, correct. The ice was tilted. Yeah. You know, Toronto was definitely the better team, and he was just making unreal save after unreal save. So, I and you know, the other thing too is someone sent me a note last night, Jeff, that I think Arizona's entire defense corps in that game had something like 650 NHL games, and Gostisbehere Bear had 425 of them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, there's a whole lot of who's that guy? Who's that guy? Yeah. I wonder if I've seen this guy before. Doesn't this guy play in the American Hockey League? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Wait a sec. I'm going to HockeyDB to figure out who this guy is. Yes.
I know we were, you know, going into last night, we were saying, okay, who's going to be playing on the Montreal Canadiens? And they were, you know, able to ice a relatively proper roster. But, you know, Arizona's kind of been at this all season long. And they did pull themselves out of the basement, technically, last night. Montreal now occupying that spot. You know, we've talked a lot about the Arizona Coyotes. And first of all, like I mentioned this off the top for each, like Vemelka has done this before. He did this against Winnipeg. He did this against Chicago. But this is the big stage. Like this is broadcast nationally in the United States last night on TNT. Like this is the coming out party for this Czech netminder who in a lot of ways has found money for the Arizona Coyotes. I don't think anyone expected him. He's drafted by Nashville. People have taken passes on him for a lot of years, played at Brno, and you know, he comes in, has found money for the Arizona Coyotes here. We all know what the plan is for Arizona, and it's going to be this plan for a couple of years here until a new arena gets built and the team starts to actualize it. We all know what they're doing here. Do you have a thought right now on, you know, Arizona in advance of trade deadline time? Like, we've talked about Chychrun, we've talked about Kraus, we've talked about Kessel. You know, are they in a position now, not unlike Ottawa a couple of seasons ago, certainly with Mark Stone, are they in the position here to play kingmaker come playoff time?
I absolutely think they've got an opportunity to do it. There's no question about that. You know, I think one of the issues, though, that they and other teams will have is I don't know if they can really retain salary on anybody. I think they can do it in one spot. Because I know they have Ekman Larson they're retaining on, and I think they have someone else they're retaining on, and your max is three. So I think that's one. Someone was telling me last night when we were watching the game that that's one of the issues of trading with Arizona is that they can't eat a lot of salary.
Darcy Kemper. Yeah, they have.
Oh, that's who it is. Okay, so Kemper. I couldn't remember who the other one was. So I think that's one of the issues there. But look, like Chychrun, we think there's something that's going to happen there. Kessel, you definitely think there's something that's going to happen there. You know, like Johan Larson to me is a guy that I would be interested in if I was a playoff team and was looking for a depth forward. I've always kind of liked his game. Unfortunately, because, you know, Buffalo and Arizona, there's not a lot of opportunity to have playoff experience there. But I think he plays the right kind of game that you'd like. There's no question they've got players there that could help teams. I thought it was really interesting. Someone said that Armstrong was on radio the other day, Bill Armstrong, the GM, and he said they're not really that interested in trading Gostisbehere. So, you know, we'll see where it all goes, but there's no question they've got some guys there that can really help people. And, you know, I wrote Tuesday that I think they want to send Chychrun East if they can. I know you mentioned a bunch of teams last weekend. They were all in the Western Conference, St. Louis, which is in their division, and you know, Anaheim and L.A., which aren't that far away. I think if possible, they want to send them east, and that to me, that's got Carolina written all over it. You look at Carolina's contracts, those are the kinds of guys they go after.
Yeah, it's true. And we know that Carolina has been interested this season in John Klingberg. And listen, you've written about this and we've talked about it on the podcast. Carolina, Colorado. You know, those are the two. They're both
going to be
Eichel.
In every rumor. Every rumor.
They will be in on all of them. Boston Bruins, we get to see Tuukka Rask tonight facing off against the Philadelphia Flyers. All-time
no
leader in wins. Right? Well, we thought he was going to... Thought he was going to get the AHL conditioning to Providence for a couple of games. Not so fast. Jump right back in. 306 wins. That's most of a Bruins goaltender of all time. Most games played, 560. Helped win a Stanley Cup. Tim Thomas was the starter, as you know. But Tuukka Rask also won a Vezina. Listen, tonight's going to be a special night for the Boston Bruins as Tuukka Rask comes back to the fold. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, I'd laugh if he gets a shutout and walks into the post-game media and says, who needs conditioning stints? Because he's the kind of guy who would do that, right?
Yes.
You know, can I just say that I thought it was really interesting last night watching Marchand in the post-game talk about Boston's tradition of when you get a hat trick, you pick up one of the hats and autograph it and keeps it. And he said that tradition's been going on longer than even before he got there. I thought that was really interesting. I like hearing that kind of story. I thought it was some really good color.
Do you want me to tell you something that I heard from a while ago? And I got someone to ask him about it and he just laughed.
Okay.
You want to hear someone? Okay, this is like, I know you always make fun of my dumb brain. I get it. And you're about to again. So
I may not.
Nah, you'll probably laugh at this one. But this is something that someone told me, and I did ask about it. So, you know the pyramid of pucks on the bench before warm-up that sits there?
Yes.
So Marchand comes out and knocks them down and always leaves one. And I was told that puck is for Tory Krug. And someone
is there any particular
that I know,
reason?
Well, I mean, they were teammates and they were close and they had a good relationship. And I don't know if he still pines for Tory Krug being on the back end of the Boston Bruins. Mm-hmm. But I had someone ask Marchand about that and all he did was laugh about it. Didn't confirm and didn't deny.
Well, that's probably true then. See, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not as terrible as your regular stories.
Watch it not be true and just get blasted over. But that was something that one person
did. Doesn't matter.
He leaves the one puck.
It's good.
Yes. Don't let the truth get in the way of the good story. Yes. Listen, Boston.
No, anyway,
hot,
about Rask.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he's you know, you talk about like all obviously a lot of the attention is going on, a lot of the Kane stuff right now, but you know, Rask is in terms of quote unquote a free player, one-year, $1 million prorated contract. He's a difference maker. He's an absolute difference maker. I mean, we'll see how he plays, but he's got plenty of but he's been skating. He's got plenty of time to get since he's going to start now in January. He's got plenty of time to get his timing going. You know, he's potentially a difference maker for them. And you're right, Boston's going, and I don't know if they've got enough runway to make a run at, you know, the top three teams in the Atlantic. I know they've got some games in hand, but that's going to be a bit of a challenge. However, you know, they're going to be a headache. I still wonder. I think Boston is one forward. They need another forward.
Yes.
You know, they split up the perfection line a bit here, but they still need to me another forward, one more forward. And I bet you if this continues to go the way that this is going, they go out and they get that kind of person.
Listen, I reported the interest in Lawson Crouse, which goes back a couple of seasons. Could that be the guy? You know, the one thing about splitting up perfection line as well, I mean, you can understand Bruce Cassidy wanting to do that to get that secondary scoring. And I'll be honest with you, you look at the role that they're on right now and the Hall-Pasternak combination. I know, like, you take them off a line with Bergeron and Marchand, you're not going to be as good. And that's like a super high-octane line. I get all that. But this looks like it's working for each.
Doesn't seem to be bothering Marchand too much.
It looks like it's working. Like Craig Smith up on that top line, replacing Pasternak, who goes down to play with Halla and Hall. It looks like it's working, Elliot. You know, and then you know what it does?
He's a good player, Smith. Really,
he
good.
Really is. That was a really good signing by them a couple of seasons ago. You know what it does, perhaps more than anything else? I think it puts Charlie Coyle in his right spot in that third line with DeBrusque and Steen. Like, things really sort of sit better right now. And that was coming back to the point about, you know, Tuukka Rask and how he can be a difference maker for the Bruins. It's funny because, you know, they pick him up here at a time where they don't need a difference maker. Like, this team has hit a stride right now.
You can always use a difference maker. Always, always, always.
You know, I do wonder about them. See, I think they look for a forward too, and I wonder if they still look for one more defenseman. Like, I look at Boston, I say, okay, what's going to give them one more shot at this? And I'm with you. I say one forward, and I say one defenseman as well.
These Eastern Conference playoffs this year, they're going to be murder.
They're going to be murder.
We basically have the eight teams, right?
Well, I was just mentioning that before you came on. Like, is this done? Like, I know the Islanders have a lot of games still to play, and I know that they're hoping that, okay, it's not done and we can still make a charge here. But I look at it and I say, okay, these are the teams. Now let's see what order they finish in.
Anson Carter, someone was saying to me, was on TNT last night saying that he still thinks the Islanders can make it. And I was like, that's a good salesman that's a good salesman. I like that. Because, you know, you're trying to pitch that there's still a race. I don't know, man. I just think there's too big a gap. You know, in the West, I think some of those teams like Dallas and Calgary, you know, and Winnipeg, I think they have the runway. I do, because the gap just isn't that big, right? Particularly in the Pacific Division. If you're Calgary or Edmonton, you're trying to come up that Pacific Division side. Winnipeg doesn't have that. They have to go for the wild card. But if you're coming up that position, Pacific Division position, you've got that availability. But I don't know. Like that East, I think that's too big, and now we're just jockeying for position here.
Yeah. Real quick, Eric Staal signs a PTO with the Iowa Wild. Listen, we talked to Devin Dubnyk on the podcast that just came out yesterday, and he talked about talking with Staal and playing for Team Canada together. I believe Dubnyk is going to be there, as we all believe that Eric Staal will be there as well. This is just the obvious point. Get some, you know, pro games in before heading off to Beijing, correct?
Yeah, and I think that somebody told me actually this week that Team Canada wasn't sure that Staal was going to do it. That they, you know, they talked to him and they weren't 100% certain. And now obviously he's going to try it. I think the interesting thing is going to be, you know, if he plays a few games for the American Hockey League and goes, is someone in the NHL going to preempt this and say, you know, we'll take him now? I'm really curious about that. Someone said to me this morning they were wondering if that's what's going to happen, that, you know, he'll play some games and then some teams will say, you know what, if you want to play in the NHL now, we might just bring you aboard. So I think that's the only Olympic fly in the ointment here is, could someone from the NHL grab him first?
Well, here's the thing about Staal. Mm-hmm. He's won at a lot of different levels here.
Yeah.
What does he want to do?
And he has an Olympic gold medal already.
He does. So what's important to you right now if you're Eric Staal? And Eric Staal's family knows that.
Mm-hmm. Someone did say to me, though, that was a concern on the Olympic side, is that an NHL team swoops in and just says, we're going to take.
Interesting. This is going to be almost a daily now. Anything on the Evander Kane investigation, or does that just continue? Obviously, this is, you know, deterring him from signing with anyone in the NHL at this point. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But is there a latest with Evander Kane, I guess, is the question.
I just think that I do think they're going to try to move this along pretty quickly to see what there is or isn't. I'd be surprised if he signs before this is done. All I heard was that yesterday everything ground to a halt once the NHL sent this message out, and everybody is going to wait to see. I mean, I just think there's so many unanswered questions here. Yeah. And, You know, one of the things is, you know, is he like, are, if you sign him, you know, are you even going to bring him in if there's a risk of another suspension? And so I think that's kind of what everybody is kind of looking at and saying here. I just think it's been brought to a complete halt until we find out what the situation is or isn't here. And, you know, I think the other thing too is that it's not only the NHL that's looking at this. I think Canadian Border Services is too. So, I mean, there's a couple of different things that we could be looking at.
Okay, so we'll stay tuned on that one. Meanwhile, tonight, Friedge, 11 games on the go around the NHL. Mentioned the Boston Bruins and the Philadelphia Flyers. Canadian teams in action. Calgary facing off against Ottawa at the Saddle Dome. We'll see the Vancouver Canucks in Tampa as Vancouver's trip through the Sunshine State continues. Winnipeg faces off against the Detroit Red Wings, the Habs and the Hawks. And then maybe the most... maybe the most interesting game on the schedule is the latest game, the 10:30 Eastern start in Los Angeles. And that is the LA Kings, who are playing well, and the Pittsburgh Penguins. And that story has been well told. And we've talked a lot about the Pittsburgh Penguins here. I'm curious about, like, the last thing we talked about the Pittsburgh Penguins was about, or the Los Angeles Kings was about Mark Bergevin. But what about the team itself here? Like, we wondered at the beginning of the season, would they be able to score enough goals? And they're scoring enough. They're not, like, no one's, like, Adrian Kempe leads the team in goals. But, you know, no one's, you know, they don't have, like, you know, three guys that are ripping it up. They still have to grind for a lot of their goals. Mm-hmm. But do you have a thought on where the Los Angeles Kings are at right now? I mean, they're a better team than they were last season. Mm-hmm. They're in a playoff spot right now. Mm-hmm. Do you have a thought on Rob Blake's team here?
Well, I think they are kind of what I expected them to be this year. Is you're hoping they take a step, but you don't know if they're good enough to make the playoffs. And they're in the race. You know, how many teams did we say this year, Jeff, you know, we're hoping that they're playing meaningful games? You know, New Jersey was one of those teams. Columbus was one of those teams. Detroit was one of those teams. And I think that like LA and Anaheim were a couple of those teams. You're hoping that they're young teams that get to play meaningful games at the end of the season. And LA is going to be doing that. They are going to be playing meaningful games. And I think that's kind of what you're hoping for. You know, I am curious to see, you know, just in terms of some of their young kids, which of them get to play or play major roles in these big games later in the year. That's one I'm very curious about. The other thing, too, I'm watching this year is, you know, they gave Peterson a big deal, and he's had to battle to keep that job.
Like, he's not, you know, he's lost the job. He doesn't have the job. Quick's getting the starts.
I know, and that's the thing. Like, I think that's the one situation I'm looking at in LA that really stands out to me is they gave Peterson that deal, which was a momentous deal in terms of what it did for other goalies next contracts, including Jack Campbell in Toronto. But you know, you got to think that, you know, Quick is competitive as hell, right? Like, it's not mean he's a bad teammate or anything, because he's definitely not. But he's a guy who cares a lot and has a lot of pride in himself, and he's going to make it hard on Peterson to get that job away from him, which he's doing. And that's the one thing I kind of look at right now. If you're LA, you're hoping that Peterson says, okay, I'm going to reclaim my hold on all this. But boy, did Malkin look good the other night. The Penguins, you know, like they're amazing to watch. It's, you know, they have such a great attitude, and they have some really fascinating decisions to make this year. But those guys like Crosby, Letang, Malkin, they're so driven, man. What they demand of themselves and each other, that team they're incredible.
And there's something every single game that turns your head. Like, I know Malkin comes back and he snaps in two and adds an assist. But to me, you know, the play of the game is on that power play goal where Crosby, like the Crosby leap, you know, remember like that leap over the shot to act as the screen. Come on.
How many?
Who does it?
How many times did anyone try that? No matter what they did, it still hit them.
Always. Ankle, side of your knee, you're injured because of it. Crosby does it like nothing. And he's got great vertical on it, too. Like, that's the thing. Like, try jumping on the ice like that. Trust me.
He should do the high jump for the Olympics after he retires.
You know, if Patrick Burke is listening to this show right now, there's another event there for the All-Star Game. NHL high jump.
and Weber has to take the shot that you have to avoid.
Good Lord. Yeah, GMs will love this one. That's a fantastic idea, Elliot. Well done. Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh's a freak, and they have some decisions to make. But, I mean, how many times have we said, okay, they've got to, you know, tear this thing down a little bit here and rebuild it and stock the shelves? But then...
Why would you?
You know, well, that's it. Like, listen, these guys are playing great. These guys are in a playoff spot. How do you just artificially say, okay, we got to move some bodies here because, you know, we need more draft capital. Like, the idea is, like, Malkin and Crosby and Letang are still there. You still go for it. You try to squeeze another run out of this team. Like, I get it. And we talked about this before. Tristan Jarry makes a save in that Islanders series. It's not the Islanders that are facing off against Tampa in the conference final.
Yeah, but you can't say that. You can't say that. Like, that's like, you know, what's that old line about if wishes and butts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas? Like, you can't say that.
Candies and nuts. If ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
We'd all have a Merry Christmas, right? I like to use the other saying about aunts and uncles, but I just don't know if it's just a wise thing in the middle of the day.
I'll save that one for the podcast. We'll talk about it a little bit later on tonight. Quick thought on the Vancouver Canucks and the Calgary Flames. Tonight, Vancouver faces off against the Tampa Bay Lightning. That is, again, a team hitting stride. No Palat in this one for Tampa, but Kucherov has played two games and has looked like he hasn't missed a single beat, Elliot.
Yeah, seriously, the guy just is used to not playing right now and showing up and being great. Look, I think everybody in Vancouver was waiting for this, right? This was the time that we learned. This is the test. We saw, you know, Calgary go through that, you know, southeastern part of the United States last week, and Calgary's been really good, and they got their butts kicked, so... You know that you know what these teams can do, and you know the one thing about Vancouver that's really wondering with me right now is Patterson, and you know everybody has slumps. I don't get bothered by that. I think you're starting to wonder here about what has to happen to get this guy going, or what. How long you can wait to get this guy going? Because if you're Vancouver, this is really your season. You have to make your move before, you know, Winnipeg really starts playing again, and Calgary really starts playing again, and Edmonton really starts playing again, and Dallas too, because Dallas looks like they're going to be a load. The way they've played, they look like they're going to be a lot of trouble for teams to handle. So this is your time for Vancouver, and you need Pedersen to go. And I just think, you know, again, I accept slumps. Everybody's got them, but it's been a little too long here. And this is the time where you've got to go to your best offensive forward and say, okay, what do we have to do, or what do you need to do, or what can we do to get you going here? Because if it doesn't happen soon, this meteoric comeback we've had under Boudreaux, it's going to stop. You know, as for Calgary, you know, I mean, look, last week, it happens. I just think tonight, I don't like to call these games must win because it's way too early. But I think, you know, I think this is one you got to have.
Kachuk versus Kachuk. And Jeff Carter goes back to the scene of some successes with the Los Angeles Kings. Some interesting games on the board tonight around the NHL. Okay, Friedge, talk to you later for the podcast. You be good.
All right, buddy. Take care.